The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to Jesus, or to the judge, saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by her continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise, for you are the God of life. You are the God of justice and righteousness. I pray this morning that I not be preaching to itchy ears, to people with itchy ears, but to people who have a heart longing for your word of truth, a truth that transforms, truth that gives life, truth that brings healing and hope to our souls. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we move into the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, it is clear that Jesus knows the human spirit. And it's also clear that Jesus knows the reality of life. He knows there is much to lose heart about as our world turns. In the light of that, Jesus tells a parable to his disciples about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. This is a parable of encouragement. In this parable, we meet two people, neither of whom are particularly likable: a judge and a nag. And in this parable, their worlds collide. The judge, we're told, neither fears God nor respects people. He seems to be somewhat of an egomaniac. The woman is seeking justice. Another translation says she is seeking to be avenged. What she is really seeking is victory against her opponent. And she will not stop until she gets what she needs and wants. Now the judge in this circumstance, civilly, would have power and position, not only over this woman, but over many, over most in this society. The widow, civilly, has no power, no rights. And yet she finds power in her voice as she continues to browbeat the judge until he finally surrenders, saying, "Because this widow causes trouble for me, I will give her justice, so that she may not in the end give me a black eye by her coming." Jesus says, following this parable, "Listen to what the unjust judge says." He says, "I will give her justice. I will give her victory. I will give her what she needs. I will give her what is right." And then he asks two questions. And will not God grant justice? Will not God grant victory? Will not God grant what is right to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, Jesus says, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, Jesus asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Faith, it seems to me, is defined in this text by one who doesn't give up, by one who continues to come to the one who we know has power. Faith is the ability to return and return and return, requesting that which is needed, that which is that will bring life from the one who has power to give it. Will the Son of Man find faith on earth? We don't have to think very long to come up with a list of things that we might be disheartened about, that we might lose heart about. Anybody losing any heart about politics these days? How about the environment or the ecology that surrounds us? We're going to be talking about that in adult education later this morning. We can lose heart about the church. I as Andy was introducing and welcoming our Waldorf guests, I was a bit disheartened, thinking, thank God you're here. Because without you, there'd be a lot of space in this sanctuary this morning. Can we lose heart about the church? It can be easy to do that today. It's easy to lose heart about the economy or the weather. Farmers are battling the weather to get their crops out of the field this fall. It can be easy to become disheartened about changes that come into our lives. Changes that come into our lives without our permission. Changes in our health or changes in our relationships with family or coworkers or whatever else it might be. Changes in culture. And if we're honest with Jesus in our response to this teaching this morning, we might just have to say to Jesus, it feels as though sometimes in our prayer life, Jesus, it feels as though we're talking to the wall. Have any of you felt that way sometimes in your prayer life? As if we're talking to the wall? In chapter 13 of the Psalms, the psalmist begins that text by saying, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? We feel as though God isn't listening, as though God isn't showing up, as though God isn't acting. We feel as though God is missing in action. And I think when we push back on Jesus like that, it seems to me that Jesus' response would not be defensive, but I feel that Jesus would say, I'm telling you this story because I know that's how you feel. I know that it's easy to be disheartened, to lose heart. And I'm giving you permission, children. I'm giving you permission to say to the Father, only you can help me, and I'm going to continue bugging you until you help me. Jesus gives us permission and encouragement to keep showing up, to keep asking. And that is what faith is. The act of showing up because we know God is the answer. God is the only one who can help, who can give life, who can grant justice, who can set things right. When Peter and the other disciples were faced with the question of leaving Jesus and turning away from him because his teachings were hard and because their journey was becoming difficult, Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter knew that Jesus was the way and the truth and the life. And so he hung in there. He continued to follow Jesus, trusting that God would set things right. Also embedded in this parable is the issue of God's honor, as I talked with the children about this morning. The judge says, I will give her justice so that I don't get a black eye. God's reputation and God's honor are always at stake when it comes to helping his children. We see this throughout the scriptures. In 2 Kings chapter 19, King Hezekiah prays this prayer, "O Lord our God, I pray, save us, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord." King Hezekiah had received a letter from Assyria's king, Sennacherib, and Sennacherib had conquered many cities, and now Jerusalem was the next in line. In his letter, Sennacherib mocked the God of Israel. And so King Hezekiah went immediately to the temple, and he spread that letter out before the Lord. And he acknowledged that God was the creator of all things in heaven and earth. And he told him of Sennacherib's reproach and mockery. And then he pleaded. He pleaded with God to act on behalf of Israel so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that the Lord, that God is the Lord. In Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, Israel had sinned. They had profaned God's name. They had drug it through the mud, chasing the idols of their neighbors. In verse 22 and following, we hear these words. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake that I am about to act, but for the sake of my name. I will take you from the nations. I will gather you and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." God is faithful. God is faithful over and over again. God is faithful when we are not. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? In the prayer that Jesus taught us, we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Holy, honorable is God's name. And when God is silent, when God fails to act, God's name, God's reputation, God's honor is at stake. So come to Jesus. So come, Jesus invites you and me. Come and plead your case. Come and remind God of God's promises. Come and remind God of God's honor. Have faith. Wait upon the Lord in God's time. God will act. Today we know that God has acted. He has acted by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, as a guarantee. As a guarantee that we will find victory in the face of injustice. That we will find that God will set things right in a world where things are wrong. In a world where things are broken. God, through Jesus Christ, will redeem this world, will heal it, and we'll make it right again. God's commitment and God's promise to act, and we can stand with the prophet Micah. Through Jesus' faithfulness, we can stand with the prophet Micah in trust and in confidence of God's justice and victory. In the prophet Micah, he writes, or she writes, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I must bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he takes my side and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out into the light and I shall see his vindication." When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be light to me. Is it ever too late for God to act?
If not, then it's never too early, nor is it too late for us to come to the Lord with our pleas, the pleas of our hurts, our broken hearts, our injustices. There is in this life much to lose heart about. Those things will pass away. Because we belong to God, and because God has promised life, grace, justice, these will prevail. These will prevail, for God is faithful.